Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by CJ Vogel. CJ just got back from a media availability just a few moments ago. The Longhorns, after Thursday's practice, put out a couple of veterans, as well as a guy that came on the scene last year with a big splash, Gunnar Helm, a four-year guy from Denver, Colorado, tight end, incumbent behind JT Sanders. He was in Austin today talking, meeting with the media. CJ met him post-practice, as well as Jake Majors, another long-term starter, long-term player for the Longhorns. And then Jaden Blue, the running back that came on late last year and really had a terrific late season run for the Longhorns. Those three met with the media. CJ, I want to start with Gunnar Helm, because I thought he had a good, what I would call mindset, I guess, as far as what his responsibility he saw as a leader and an elder statesman on the team was.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to hear from Gunnar, a guy that you expect to see on the field a bit more this year than what we saw a year ago, kind of understanding that he has a role and shoes to fill here for the Longhorns. His comment that I really appreciated hearing was, you know, he's coming from a program in high school that was winning a lot. And when he gets to Texas and making that jump from Colorado down to Austin, you know, you kind of expect to be bought in and see those same results on the field. Well, when you start 5-7, it doesn't necessarily inspire a lot of hope moving forward. But, you know, he's seen the progression. He's gone from 5-7 to 8-5. And now we've seen Texas reach the heights of a college football playoff appearance a year ago. And, you know, he sees that as reaching the top of the mountain, essentially, with still a peak to go. And he mentioned that today. I really liked what he had to say is, right now, my responsibility on this team as a guy who's been around the block a few times is to get these guys bought into what Sarkisian and this program is all about. You know, I can only do so much, but I'm here to bring these guys along with me to get them up to the standard of which Texas has now set itself inside of the program. Again, he talked about being a leader by example, but with kind of being the older guy in the room at the tight end position, that responsibility to be the vocal leader has now fallen on his shoulders. So I really liked what I saw from Gunnar Helm, and it just kind of adds to what we've heard a lot about when it comes to the culture behind the scenes inside of the Texas locker room.
Yeah, he's definitely the elder statesman, as I mentioned. He also mentioned some other guys, including transfer Amari Nyblack. What did he have to say about Amari and what he's working on with him there?
Yeah, it says he has really smooth hips. He's really quick in and out of breaks. And, I mean, the speed alone, that was the first thing that he mentioned when he talked about Amari Nyblack. Of course, the experience of playing for a college football playoff appearance a year ago as well certainly helps in this regard. And, you know, there's a question whether or not that he gives or kind of pokes fun at Amari Nyblack a year ago about the Alabama-Texas game. He said, "I he's a teammate of mine now. I leave that alone." But Coach Banks does. Coach Banks will let him know all about it. So I thought that was certainly very funny. I liked what I heard about Juan Davis from Gunnar Helm. You know, the two of them came in together in the same recruiting class. They've been together on this this Texas tight end room for quite a while now. Now you see that little bit of hunger with Juan. And we've heard about this from Sarkisian as well this offseason in regards to Juan Davis. So that was encouraging. And also for freshman Jordan Washington, who Gunnar Helm called eventually will be a beast in the Texas program. Very encouraging there, a guy that's willing to block that you don't necessarily hear a whole lot about coming from the basketball background. And now an early enrollee asked to guard or block grad transfers in that regard. Really encouraging stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Jordan Washington a little bit. We talked about Amari Nyblak. It's nice to hear about Juan Davis as well. As you mentioned, Steve Sarkisian doing that. The tight end room, Jeff Banks, to your point, seems to keep replenishing and retooling. And every single year, it seems to be getting better and better. Gunnar Helm has been one of the constants of that. He's going to be the four-year player along with Juan Davis for Jeff Banks in that room. So that's, I think tight end overall, CJ, tight end's in good hands right now. Did you get that feeling after leaving the press conference?
I did. And I think what's really encouraging is, yeah, you know what Gunnar Helm can do. He's a very solid college tight end. He has a future playing in the NFL. Amari Nyblak has a very explosive high ceiling as well. But, you know, the more that we start hearing about Juan Davis, the more I start feeling like, yeah, like this group is going to be very deep. It's going to have its moments. It's going to be a strong spot for this Texas offense, in which it needs to be. Gunnar Helm, the interesting one last piece I wanted to add here is he looks at the tight end room and they look at each other as sponges. And this has been a recurring theme with Sarkisian, is the most important piece in this offense, aside from the quarterback, is that tight end spot, because it bridges the running game to the passing game, the blocking game off the edges. And you certainly are responsible for a lot of checks and balances, if you will, with the audibles and looks that the defense gives you. So right now, I think that tight end spot under Jeff Banks is looking very strong.
All right, good stuff. I want to go next to Jaden Blue, the running back out of Klein Oak. We thought this time a year ago, we thought he might transfer. Probably a year plus ago, back in December of 2022, I thought there was a real, and he had told some people privately that he was likely to transfer. You know, fast forward a year and a half later, and Steve Sarkisian's helped develop in one of the better running backs available and one of the fastest running backs in the country, really. But I got a sense from listening to Jaden Blue today, he deserves a lot of his own credit.
Absolutely.
Repurposing and reconfiguring his mindset might be the best way to put it. What did you take from that?
Yeah, this was a very mature Jaden Blue today, a very mature Jaden Blue. He mentioned sacrifices and what he, you know, kind of put away to the side to ensure that he would put himself to be the best player on the football field that he could possibly become. He mentioned not going out with friends as often, staying in, sacrificing some of the friends in which he spent a lot of time with off the field. And now really devoting himself to watching films, studying the playbook, understanding what the schemes and the concepts are like for each play. And we're seeing the benefits, Bobby. After the scrimmage a week ago, that was probably him and Ryan Wingo were the two names I heard the most about in terms of guys who had a very good showing in the Texas spring, first scrimmage of the spring. So that to me was very important. And I liked what he said about Jonathan Brooks. And, you know, we heard a little bit about this from CJ Baxter a week ago as well, as, you know, Jonathan Brooks, a guy who didn't necessarily hop onto the field and play right away in his career at Texas. Jaden Blue, similarly on that same path. You know, he was a guy that had to sit a little bit, didn't play his freshman year, didn't start off last year very strong, you know, had a fumble early on that kind of put him in the doghouse a little bit, you know, in that Wyoming game. But later in the year, when the opportunities came, he made the most of them. And I think, Bobby, to your point, a younger Jaden Blue wouldn't have sat back and kind of taken this process as slowly as it was. But because he got to sit back and learn from Jonathan Brooks, who he shouted out and said was the best running back in the country a year ago, now Texas is about to reap the rewards of a third-year Jaden Blue in the system, a guy who had a 10-200-meter dash as a junior in high school. That was something I really liked hearing from Jaden Blue. And the maturity now is something that I think is going to continue trickling down to the freshman as well as Trey Wisner.
He was a little braggadocious about the 10-200 meter. Said he ran that. That wasn't an official time, but he did say, yeah, he did say he's the fastest Longhorn on the team. Obviously, since Xavier Worthy's no longer part of the team, by the way. I don't know that Jaden is popping off the 4-2-1 electronic 40 like Xavier did. He mentioned that. People chuckle a little bit around that.
No, I mean, I think a lot of folks agreed with him, especially after, you know, hearing how quickly he was able to get the ball in his hands and get going in the scrimmage. That's a fun title to pass down, Bobby. I mean,
yeah,
the fastest on the team, you know, for years it was Xavier Worthy. I think now Jaden Blue is looking at it like, that's me. He also mentioned Isaiah Bond, Ryan Nimblett, and DeAndre Moore, who might be a surprise to some folks in that conversation for guys on the offensive side of the ball for the fastest on the team title. Will be a fun conversation, but right now, Blue's confident, and he certainly feels like he's that guy.
That is interesting because you wouldn't think that Moore would be faster than Jonte Cook.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Or, I mean, now Ryan Niblett had some track times, so that would be different, but interesting. All right, Jaden Blue, I think overall the big takeaway for me, twofold. One, a year ago, you and I would have laughed, and I'm not trying to be rude to Jaden or any by any stretch, but it shows the development that can happen in a year. You and I would have laughed at the thought of Jaden Blue coming out to represent the Longhorns, right, in a media session. But fast forward a year, and here he is.
Right.
And it goes to show what can happen in a year's time, right, and where exactly these young people can develop into at right. a time when, you know, we've all been that age. We've all made mistakes. We've all thought different things. But the fact that he seems to be rewiring himself and creating that mindset, not that he ever had a bad mindset. I'm not putting that on him either.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm saying this is a positive, and it's part of what, frankly, I think, you know, there's different guys. Gunnar Helm has been a consistent guy the whole way. Jaden Blue is now popping off a little bit in a good way. So I feel that's interesting. Let's go to the next one.
I wanted to add, he talked about not playing his senior season in high school, and he kind of thought back. He had some reflection that he mentioned about a year ago when things weren't necessarily where he wanted them to be on the football field, you know, not playing his senior season, slow start at Texas, and now understanding what it took to be a college athlete and a running back at the University of Texas. Again, he pointed to Jonathan Brooks, and I can't, you know, kind of state enough about what Brooks did for not only Blue, but for CJ Baxter in his 1 year last year to kind of lead the way and show them that, hey, when your time comes, you've got to prepare for it and be ready for when your number is called. Right now, we've seen it with two guys, and I think that's going to trickle down even more. It's just one of those things that the dominoes start falling and there's no end in sight, but in a positive here.
I think back to a lot of those Texas teams, the peers, raising peers. Rod Babers used to talk about it. When Quentin Jammer was there, he learned from Quentin Jammer. Well, Rod then taught the next guy. You know, it happens at all positions. But seemingly, it never – here's what I would say to that. It's easy to say it's a position coach doing it, and that's what follows. But really, I think it's the players. They teach each other as much as they learn from coaches themselves.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's good stuff for the running back room and to Chartres. Let's fast forward now, or let's move on to Jake Majors. He's another guy that's blood, sweat, and tears for the Longhorns for a long period of time. A team leader now. He's going to be a four-year starter at center. He's grown through that. What did Jake say? Because when I was asked who one of the leaders on the team might be this year, I had heard from behind the scenes that Jake, even though he's not the big talker, may actually be the guy that actually does a lot of that from behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that has 40 plus starts under his belt during his time in Austin. You know, he's a guy, he won't admit it, but I'm sure a lot of folks in this, the younger group of the Texas programs looking at him kind of like a dad or a grandpa. You know, he's kind of been around that block and he carries himself that way. But, you know, obviously very respectfully, you know, he earns that respect in the locker room for the Texas Longhorns. And for him, the big takeaway I had was he felt like there was unfinished business here in Austin. And that was a big reason for him to return. You know, there were looks for him to go on and play in the NFL or at least pursue a career that way. But he felt like, you know, he wanted to improve on the field. He wanted to come back and achieve what they fell a little bit short of a year ago in terms of chasing that national title. I loved hearing that from Jake Majors because, as you said, he's not the most vocal guy, but when he does speak up in a room, those eyes, ears, in the offensive line room specifically, they turn to him. He's that voice in the middle of the field in which he's now taking that extra responsibility upon him to diagnose everything on the side of the defensive side of the ball ahead of time, to help out Quinn Ewers, to help out his offensive line, to continue what he started a few years ago and continue to essentially be that extra coach on the field. Jake Majors today, if you could have a center that kind of acts and presents himself in the way that Jake Majors does, you'd love to have that at any point in your coaching career if you're the head coach of Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, he's I think he graduated from the McCombs Business School already, going to graduate school. He's got his right now, apparently, and may have an NFL future at a time when a lot of people didn't think he would necessarily have that opportunity, but he's kind of worked at it and may earn himself that shot this time next year. Hey, CJ, anything else the guys had to say about the team as a whole right now? Surprises this spring, things they're seeing or what they're talking about behind the scenes?
Yeah, Jake had an interesting comment about which guy on the defensive side of the ball is kind of standing out to him. He said it was Aaron Bryant. And we've heard that, earlier this week from Sarkisian as well. But the way in which Jake spoke about Aaron Bryant was very encouraging to me. Of course, that's a position right now that, might have a little bit of a question mark at the moment. But Jake said that essentially he's on that level of a Tavondre Sweat or a Byron Murphy from a year ago. He thinks playing with those two guys a year ago and being able to learn and develop alongside of them is going to go a long way to what we see from Aaron Bryant this year on the field, which, as we've talked about, Texas could certainly use on that interior defensive line spot. So for a guy like him to mention those two, very encouraging. I asked Gunnar Helm as well, which of those edge guys are really starting to stand out? He essentially said all of them. And he said for a different number of reasons. You have the strength and the length with a guy like Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell, while the quickness and kind of the change up to a fastball, if you will, with Colin Simmons and Trey Moore. It there's an interesting and certainly noticeable dynamic between the two groups that I mentioned there at the defensive edge spot. One that he adds is it's very difficult to block, and luckily he's got a guy like Kelvin Banks to his right and he's got a guy like Cam Williams to his left when it comes to double teaming and blocking these guys in the pass game. Otherwise, they create some issues. So certainly that defensive line group amongst the guys that have to block them every day are starting to get some notoriety a little bit amongst the team, and certainly a positive, if you will, for guys looking to follow this group.
Anything, I got to ask this, anything brought up about Samaje Burrell today by any of the guys, any questions from our reporters, et cetera?
No, he wasn't brought up, but, these guys did talk about making sure that the locker room is, kept in order, that these guys see the vision and, hold on to what the goal ultimately is, which is to win an SEC championship, move on and play and win for a national championship as well. So while it wasn't necessarily directly, they understand what's going on in the locker room, and they're making sure that as leaders – they're keeping
they didn't call him out, but they kind of subconsciously hinted at it a little bit. Yep. Is what you're talking about. That makes sense. I think it's unfortunate what happens, these guys gotta learn. Their decisions matter and have repercussions for them for a long period of time. All right, Jaden Blue, Jake Majors, and Gunnar Helm before the media today. That'll do it for this special episode, this afternoon episode of On Texas Football. For CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching. Hug 'em.